Thank you. Now we could go to Seward, to Michael Olson.
Hello, yes, I'm Michael Olson. I'm the president of our local arts council here, and also I'm a volunteer member of the art selection committee for the new ferry of the MV Kennecott. I wanted to talk, I wrote a statement, but listening to your comments earlier, the administration cost for this 1% of the arts does come from that 1%. Also, that the formula, somebody was talking earlier about the $97,000 for an elementary school that costs $39 million. It's only state funds that the 1% comes from. Any federal money that's involved, the 1% is not, is not included in that. So I'm going to read what I wrote here and then carry on because I have to get to a teleconference for the ferry. I'm definitely in opposition of HB 143. In 1975, Alaska took bold steps to recognize the importance of the arts by developing the Percent for Art program. Since that time, many other states have followed us in developing similar programs. The national art community and other states look up to Alaska for its innovation in fostering culture and arts throughout through our public arts program. Utah is one of the most recent states to adopt a Percent for the Arts program. It would be ludicrous for the state that leads their nation in such a positive way to drop the ball. And to what end? The 1% dollars would not go back to the state's general fund. Contractors factor in a 5 to 10% contingency fund for cost overruns, and it is this money that the artwork derives. By eliminating the percent program, the money would not go into, would go into the contractor's pocket and not back into the state coffers. So HB 143 does not make any real financial difference to our state budget. If money is the sole purpose of HB 143, it would be wasting precious time. There's no bang for the buck in this one. Also, I want to point out that in 1985, I was working on a project in Valdez where that happened. The cost overran, ate up all the money, and there was no 1% for the arts did not go into that facility. We had to come up with other funds after the fact. So anyway, that's what I have to say. I'm in total opposition to HB 143.
Okay, thank you. Here in Juneau, we have Annie Stokes.
Madam Chair and representatives, I also have to thank Representative Beasy for bringing up this issue again because it stimulates public dialogue, which to me is the process that we all are involved in, and I have to thank that. It makes people really assess what's important to them, and your comments have been particularly helpful for me this morning because it is apparent to me that there is a great deal of misinformation about this bill, that there is a great deal of confusion as to numbers, as to where it's allocated, where it's not allocated, that there is a great deal of questions, a lot of questions that people have raised here that no one seems to have the answers to. And I have to say that I am opposed to this bill. I think that it is not in the best interest of this state. I think it is premature. As we have already seen, we have a billion questions. I think that I think that we need to do policy, governmental policy to me is to bring up the problem, to investigate it, and find out the correct information and the answers, and then to act accordingly. So I have to say, I think this is premature at this point because there are too many questions out there. I mean, to me, it's like cutting off a leg before you really find out whether indeed you need to cut off the leg. I mean, you have to go through finding out what other options there are, and you have to go out finding out what is the real problem, and you can't just cut off something because you have questions about it. I don't think that's good policy, and I think everybody should think about that. I have to say that House Bill, this bill deprives the public in each area that wants to see their environment and their cultures reflected in the public. Each, like everybody said, it's a public process and everyone is involved, and I have never heard a person involved in a project statewide in Bethel or the Anchorage Native Contemporary exhibit ever say anything negative about that or say that they were against it. I've only heard positive things. So I think the public would be denied. I think the artists who are selected by the city, they are all selected by the area. This isn't some elitist group somewhere that's picking these people, that they will be denied it. It's a heavily, real competitive process with stringent procedures to go through. And it's quite an incredible process to see happen. I think it denies the children in the schools. They watch these projects being put up. They assist in these projects. The one at in Juneau at Santi Kahini, the new school that was just built, their tiles. And these children came down and designed, gave with efforts, worked with the artists. The whole school was involved in this. And then they also did the ceramics and fired it, learned that procedure. And so we would be denying these children. We really are denying the tourist also, the tourist industry, who comes through this state, and they come here to see the land. They also come here to buy art. We now know from the figures that art is an industry.
Just sum up, please.
It's a viable industry, and it should be supported by the state, just like natural resources.
Thank you. Shannon Plankton?
Thank you. Happy spring, everybody. My name is Shannon Planchon. I'm with the Alaska State Council on the Arts. I am the grants administrator, and when times come up, I'm also the Percent for Art coordinator. I really appreciate the opportunity to testify, and what I did, because we were unable to have a slideshow, and this is about art, I made a little booklet yesterday that I've handed out, and it shows some of the projects that have happened in this state over the past 20 years. And the first one goes through the airport project, which has been very well received and has really inspired a lot of purchasing and interest in what our state has to offer. As Tim Wilson is unable to be here because he is traveling, but we are here to testify against the passage of House Bill 143. Everybody's said this, that public art has been commissioned since the antiquities. It's one of the important ways that we come to know and identify our cultures, our buildings, and who we are. It's a legacy to the leaders and the people who have produced this art. We have over 100 public Percent for Art programs in the United States. The federal government, 29 states, and scores of cities operate the Percent for Art programs. Anchorage is the only city in Alaska, however, that has a full-time Percent for Art person. At the state level, we operate without a direct administrative expense. That's why I do it off and on. We offer technical services as are required, provide mailing lists to people, help them draft their RPs, and give them some of the guidelines and choices that might be appropriate for their facility. Departments are required to consult with us per the statutes, but that is the most that we usually are able to offer them because there is no staff person that does this job. It was in 1986 that the visual arts coordinator position was cut from our program. We do have a strong interest in the operation of the program because it does serve our constituents and the public. We think it's an ideal program, fiscally conservative when the state's budget is robust. A small percent of the capital budget is reserved for it. And then when times are tough, the projects are cut back. Art commissioned and installed becomes a permanent part of the building. It's amortized over the life of the building, and the cost of public art is therefore a modest investment in our enhancement of the public environment. The Art in Public Places Fund is a different pot of money. That is where the building that is not used by the public, the portion that's designated 4% for art goes into a public art fund, and that is used to help augment art that's used in the art banks that people have in their offices here, in the legislatures, all the state offices can use it, and we can help keep that going. Like you said, the change is good, and that's our portable art source of funds. And right now, all we have there, and this has been building up since 1987, is $34,000, and that's the $34,000 that's there.
Okay, which is not the...
I think that was it. House Bill 143 would negatively affect the two constituencies, the public and the artists, and the public process in this is very well in place. It's community-driven, and we think public art is public pride.
Okay, I know that the committee has a lot of questions, but I really want to get the rest of these people in if I can. So thank you very much. And we have Alan Munro here, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee. I'm a practicing artist in Juneau, and I have a brief statement that I'd like to read into the record. And doesn't deal with specifics as much as it is perhaps a little more philosophical. Art as painting and sculpture has made major contributions to public life and public building since the time of the Egyptians, the Greeks, and the Romans. We continue in that historic tradition to this day. Now there are certain politicians who would say, no more. What is the reason? What good purpose could possibly be served by eliminating art from our daily lives? Is this an anti-art, anti-intellectual movement, or is it simply naivete due to too little opportunity to experience meaningful art? Perhaps it is purely a financial issue, fueled by contractors who would stand to profit by a little extra money designed for nice, and this is quotes, nice but not necessary art. Supporters of the repeal say, quote, it is a government giveaway which merely supports individual artists who cannot make it on their own, unquote. This is a ridiculous argument, since any money left over after materials, hard-earned wages, and taxes would have to last a very long time between awards. There is no giveaway here, just an honest wage in return for talent, professional ability, and public enrichment. We will never know how far Michelangelo will have been able to go without the financial support of the Vatican. He also had trouble with individuals in control of funding sources over 400 years ago. Be that as it may, there does exist a long-established art selection process that very carefully selects the percent for art recipients. This ensures that serious artists producing quality works of art are awarded these percent monies. We of European descent tend to isolate art from our daily lives, whether we profess to appreciate it or not. Older and wiser cultures accept art as a given in their daily lives. Art provides them a dimension of societal well-being that they would otherwise not have. Obviously, we have a long way to go before we are as accepting or as wise. It is one of the reasons why we are gathered here today. Madam Chairwoman, I recommend we become more accepting of art. Let us continue on the centuries-long journeys others have made before us. Let us continue this critically important Percent for Art program. Let this sadly uninformed and regressive bill die in committee.
Thank you. Now we'll go back to Cordova for Mark Steen.
I will speak instead. Mike Anderson. Mark Steen isn't here.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Anderson.
Okay, my name is Mike Anderson. I'm an artist here in Cordova, among all the other things that I end up doing for my community. The art that's created under this Percent for Art program by Alaskan's best artists adds a great deal to the buildings and public pride and warmth. It also allows us to preserve our culture. It allows the creating of art, which probably would not be created on speculation because the particular spaces and the public size of these works. Without these commissions, the artists would be relegated to doing small enough things that would fit in a tourist package and heading out of the state. My own work has been in these Percent for Art things has been specifically designed for places in the buildings in relation to the durability and what the functions of the building have been. I've also worked in construction. I know that this will not save 1%. Consider the percentage of a building that's going to, into the windows, far more than 1%. Consider that the 10% contingency for the forbidding error necessary changes in constructing a building is 10%. 1% is eaten up in no time in construction of a building. And I don't think that we're going to see any change in this. We might see a little bit more spendy tile on the floor. We might see spendier doors, maybe a slightly more glass. We won't hardly see it at all in the buildings, and it will be used in the buildings. In fact, 1% at the end of the project to the legislature, or tell you that the building is going to cost a percent less. So I think all those things should be considered in this, and let this thing die. You know, you're not going to get the warmth of putting artists out of business. The artists that are already doing this are artists that are going to make it regardless of whether they're getting a percent for art or not. Like the previous speaker said, you know, to stretch these things out, art projects, anybody here would starve to death.
Thank you very much. Let's go on to Kenai. Helen Brown.
Madam Chair, Helen had to leave. I have a Mr. Evenson here.
Okay, Mr. Evenson, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is a bad bill because I don't think there could be a better investment than the money that's spent on art. This program is not primarily some sort of welfare for artists. It isn't just a matter of putting pretty pictures on the wall. What it really is a statement by our government that the arts are important in the lives of our citizens. From the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, everything that we look at that is made by the hand of man has had an artistic decision involved in the production of that thing, from our clothes, our homes, tools, cars, everything. Art is the part of the fabric of our daily lives. It's just as much so as science or even the oil industry. And to eliminate the percent for art program seriously means diminishing the quality of life for our people in the schools and in public buildings, because those art objects that they see are fun to look at, they're beautiful, and they also make the statement that art is important and that we are a society that respects that. Rather than diminish or eliminate the program, I would say continue trying to improve it. I think there could be even more involvement between artists and architects at an early stage. But by all means, please do not eliminate this program. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to let the people on teleconference know that I have gotten permission to extend a little past 10 so I can get everyone that's out in the teleconference audience, but we won't be able to get the rest of the people on the email list here today. So you don't leave because it's almost 10 o'clock. I will get to you. In Ketchikan, we have Mr. Carl Cromberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Art in Public Requirement is an important and positive program for the Ketchikan community. The most recent example of this program is the placement of art in the Ketchikan High School. The Ketchikan High School was recently rebuilt in part through the renovation of the previously used structure, but in a large part a totally new facility. The new high school is designed as a series of large boxes, while bright and airy, is a very sterile environment. The public requirement for art program results in an introduction of art projects in the school that have made it a much more cheerful place for both the teachers and the students, and a better educational environment. The art in public requirement is also a valuable public-private partnership, and for very little funding creates economic benefits for local communities. Public art, in part funded by the art in public treatment requirement, creates art in the community that directly contributes to tourism. Public art makes the community more attractive to tourists who more and more are becoming vital to the economy of many of the communities in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We could go to Seward, to Sandy Stoll. Seward, are you online? In Anchorage, do we have Carol Brunner?
We do.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, my name is Carol Crump Brunner. I'm an artist here in Anchorage, and I've also been a volunteer at the museum and in various arts organizations, and I have served on juries for the public art program here in Anchorage. I travel quite a bit, and the things I look for in communities are the way it shows itself in its art. There's a big difference between Seattle, Washington, and, say, Taunton, Massachusetts. Last year at this time, I was in Italy, and there were lines 3 hours long, and they weren't lines to use the bathroom. They were lines to see art, a lot of it's public art. I am opposed to this bill. It's a very short-sighted way to look at the future we're going to leave to our children and grandchildren. The art that we have around us is incredibly important. If you know, you look around you and see nothing but new roads and new bathrooms, it doesn't say much about our culture. So I am definitely opposed to this bill. I hope that you can look around you and see what you have and what you are going to leave behind. Thank you.
Thank you. And also in Anchorage, is Paula Haley there, please?
Paula Haley's here for House Bill 155.
Okay, thank you. Then we have here in Juneau a couple more we'll be able to get then, and Sybil Davis.
I'm Sybil Davis. I've lived here for a long, long time, and I'm coming just as myself, a parent and a person who is has been actively involved in arts and appreciates aesthetics. And it made me think of a time I was on a missionary ship, and I was very, very seasick. I was out in seas, and they lashed me to the deck, and the skipper, who was a NASA engineer, came out and said, Sybil, look way off in the distance, look at the horizon, focus on that, and you won't be so sick. So in the fresh air, I focused far out on the horizon. Sure enough, I wasn't sick. And I think that we need to focus far out on the horizon now and say, this is something that is going to, we're going to leave long after we're gone. And it's going to be a very positive impact on our environment. It's our culture. It reflects us as people. And it's important. And 1% is not much. And I do believe that if this bill were passed and that money was rescinded, it wouldn't go into the capital budget. It wouldn't get what you're seeking. So for that reason also, I'm opposed to the bill, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. And we have Lynn Turner.
Madam Chair, committee members that have left. My name is Lynette Turner, and I am president of AHA, Arts for a Healthy Alaska, and it's a statewide arts advocacy organization. I'm here to voice opposition to House Bill 143, which would repeal the Alaska's 1% for art program. I believe that both the public and artists benefit greatly from this program. Because so many of the projects are done in schools and universities, those populations would be largely negatively impacted. In addition to decreasing the degree of exposure youth will have to the arts, it will affect artist employment as well. To walk through a public building and have the opportunity to be exposed to various types of art can be a rewarding experience and can have a profound effect. In the words of playwright Thornton Wilder, we can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures. The arts are a treasure and one that we should cherish. So I hope that the committee will support the 1% for Arts program and repeal this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, we did get through. Is there anyone out in the teleconference that we missed that is waiting there to testify on House Bill 143?
We have one testifier in Cordova remaining.
Okay, would you tell them to come on? Who is it?
My name is Janann Kirkmeyer, and I'm a practicing artist here in Cordova. I've been an artist all of my life. I have not been a part of this program, but I am very opposed to eliminating the percent for art. I feel that it's a form of bankruptcy to look at art in this way. To eliminate this program and to take these incredible assets of art out of these buildings that are going up is like stripping us of such a life-enhancing form. I myself look forward to buildings going up so that I can see what's going to be happening in them. Having been to some of the villages and seeing some of the buildings out there and the way the children respond to the art in their schools is very exciting. I just want to say I'm very opposed to eliminating this 1%. Thank you.
Thank you. And then, is there no one else out there in the teleconference that wished to testify today? Hearing none, then this will close the public hearing. This and other bills that we had on the schedule today will be rolled over until Saturday. And this concludes our meeting today. Thank you.